wide path leads to destruction, and lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. The people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts. Amen.
Welcome to Listen to One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Education Institute, which is a nonprofit of 501c3. Your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of this nonprofit called Legacy Education Institute. You may be wondering, because I haven't talked about this for quite a while, why do we call it Legacy Education Institute, and you're talking about One Way Radio Network? Well, we formed this corporation, nonprofit, a 501c3, approximately 16 years ago. And it's meant for a variety of topics. Number one, the most important topic is we don't do the convicting, the convincing, the converting, the saving. Our job is to what? Share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit does the convicting, convincing, the saving, the converting. So that was one of the aspects. So we're in education, and we can't make anybody do anything. We're kind of like, you can lead a horse to water, can't make them drink it. So our goal is the salt and light, and the Holy Spirit would do that convicting. But also educational institute, because, you know, Jesus preached more on the kingdom he did on heaven and hell. But you got to have the first thing down to know where you're going to spend eternity. So we do education. We've done a lot of workshops, from Social Security, financial workshops, and so forth. So it's broad encompass that. If you ever see our 501c3 and look at it, how it was formed, that's why we call it Legacy Educational Institute. So if you'd like to learn more about that, or if you care to make a donation, go to our website, onewaytoheaven.com. And by the way, I just found out my button, some reason, is missing on the donation. So you may have to call me, or you can just write a check and mail it to us. I got to check with the outfit who hosted why that button's disappear on it. But anyways, the website's called onewaytoheaven.com. Onewaytoheaven.com, not .org. And my local number, Legacy Educational Institute, is 724-983-1617. 724-983-1617, our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. And my cell, it's not a track phone, I've had this since the cell phones come out, 724-699-3789. We're located at 3087 Innovation Way in Hermitage, PA, in a development called Linden Point. So if you're heading south on Route 18 past Staples, first traffic light past that, turn left. You'll see a big stone wall that says Linden Point. Fourth building on the left. If you're coming from West Middlesex, you're always going to pass Tammany Shannon Golf Course, FedEx on the left, and then you'll see Sheets on the right, Combines on the left. Next traffic light, turn right. If you're coming from Ohio, say Belmont, get on 80, head east. Or if you're going from Warren, you go on 82. But if you can't make it here, that's okay. Any of these resources I'm going to mention in a few minutes, we'll mail them to you. And you might want to call and ask, what else do you have besides the ones you mentioned? Well, we have a lot of things. So when you call, we can talk more about that. But we have A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, the condensed version, powerful. Again, you are going to do the convincing, or the convicting, or converting, or saving. Your job is to share the good news. First of all, read it yourself and say, would you do me a favor? What's that? Would you read this? I would value your opinion. Then pray for that individual. So Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, Biblical Answers About Heaven, Randy Elkhorn. It's not his 492-page book. It's the condensed version. Then we have From Evangelism Explosion, two question marks. First question mark, when you die, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? It's either heaven or hell. And then if you say heaven, why should God let you in? Well, you won't get there because you're a good old gal or a good old boy, because the Bible is very clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. All sin and fall short glory of God. Compared to a righteous, holy God, you and I are filthy rags. So I always say we're basically scumbags compared to a righteous, holy God. So the first step is you got to humble. James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord, and he lifts you up. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humble. Humble, then repent. What does repent mean? Well, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow that you're asked for forgiveness. And then do what? Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for others. Believe Jesus and rose on the third day. Believe Jesus is the God, not a God. A lot of God are called. Big difference, folks. One goes to hell, the other one goes to heaven. The God, fully man. These are fancy churchy words, but it just means deity, hypostatic union. Then believe, then receive, and then become. Become is the Lordship. So that's the secret. You don't want the hope so, you want the know so. So call and get these resources. We also have the $1 million bill and $1 trillion bill. It looks real, but it's on the flip side. It has the Ten Commandments, because most people have broken all of them, or some of them, multitude of times. So you would not get to heaven by good old gal. Once you get that conversation going, then you can talk further with that individual. So help us fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, and Acts 1:8. Again, our phone number is 724-983-1617, or go to our website, onewaytoheaven.com. One Way to Heaven has all our contact information. Okay, so we're going to talk about what is the meaning. Just see if you can guess what this is even. 2 Corinthians 7:14. Before I tell you what it says there, the key to understanding any verse of Scripture is what? Context. Remember I said don't take a text out of a context and create a pretext. You must examine every verse on the subject in order to come up with a valid conclusion regarding its meaning. So context. There is the immediate context, the verses before and after it, as well as the larger context of Scripture. I use the example when I was going to Liberty University, a seminary, and I used an example that a boy was saying to another teenage boy, I'm going to clean your clock. The grandmother happened to come by and heard the conversation. What a nice boy. He's going to clean his clock. Now, is that what the author meant? To the teenagers of the other one. No, he was going to knock his head off, not clean the clock physically. So it's very important to distinguish between that. There's also historical and culture context. Back in the days when women wore hats, women who didn't wear hats and went to church were known as prostitutes. Well, obviously that's not transculture today. Because context is so important, a verse whose meaning and application seems straightforward when quoted in isolation, may mean something, you know, significantly different when it's taken out of context. You know, a lot of people will do that. They'll say, I don't believe in the Bible. And I ask them, you ever read it? No. Well, there's a lot of contradictions in the Bibles. Can you give me some examples? They usually can't. Now, when approaching 2 Corinthians 7:14, one must first consider the immediate context. After Solomon dedicated the temple, the Lord appeared to him and gave him some warnings and reassurance. The Lord with Lord appeared to him at night and said this, I have heard you, your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people, now listen to this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7:12-14. So, let's talk about the immediate context of 2 Chronicles 7:14. It shows the verse is tied up with Israel and the temple, the fact from time to time, God might send judgment upon what? The land in the form of a drought, locusts, or pestilence. It goes on, a few verses later, God says this, but if you turn away, you know, turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and I will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword and an object of the ridicule among the all people. Now this temple, folks, will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will say what? They'll be appalled. Why has the Lord, with the Lord, done such a thing to this land, to this temple? And the people will answer this, because they have forsaken who? The Lord was Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all the disaster on them. Well, we might be doing something like that, but the first and second commandment talks about don't serve other gods or have a graven image. But we put a lot of things before God, children, work, all kinds of things we put before that. So don't say that has ever happened to us. No. We're as guilty as they are. No doubt Solomon would have recognized this warning as reiteration of Deuteronomy 28. You might want to check out chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. God had entered into a covenant, an agreement with Israel, promised to take care of them and cause them to prosper as long as what? They obeyed him. He also promised to bring curses upon them if they failed to obey. Because of the covenant relationship, there was a direct correspondence between their obedience and their prosperity, and their disobedience and their hardship. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28 goes on to say, it spells out the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience. Again, divine blessing and divine punishment on Israel were conditioned on their obedience or disobedience. And of course, we see this blessing and cursing under the law play out in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2 is often referred to as what? The cycle of judges. Israel would fall into sin. God would send another nation to judge them. Israel would repent. That's that godly sorrow. And call upon the Lord. The Lord would what? Raise up a judge to deliver them. They would serve the Lord for a while and then fall back into sin, and the cycle would continue. Do you see anything different today, folks? Nothing new under the sun. So you're listening to One Way Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to conclude with that. Then I got something. It's a little off topic, but guess what? It's Bible, so it's not off topic. So please listen to this important message.
Retired or planning to retire soon? Do you want to save money by paying less on your taxes? Then let the experts at Legacy Financial show you how by visiting LegacyTaxBill.com right now. Use Legacy's Tax Bill Calculator. Fill in the value of your IRA, 401k, and other qualified plans. Retirement is something you've worked your whole life for, so don't let the IRS take that away. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com. Go to LegacyTaxBill.com to schedule your free consultation.
Welcome back. This is the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. And your host again today, my name is David Gallner, G-O-L-L-N-E-R. We've had this nonprofit for approximately 16 years or so. And we've been doing this particular radio show for, I'd say, 6-7 years. But we have another show we do on Saturday mornings that you're listening right on the same station, WPIC, 790 AM, from 11 AM to 12 PM. That's an hour long. And it's called The Dave and Sherry Show. And what we talk about is financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, wealth planning, you name the investment or savings, we have a variety of different strategies. So I mentioned on the last segment in several past shows, Jesus preached more on the kingdom than he did heaven or hell. But the most important is knowing where you're going to spend eternity, then being good stewards. So if you want to check us out on that, because I'm a master certified estate planner, go to LegacyFinancialService.com. LegacyFinancialService.com. Click on the affiliate button. You'll see six other websites. You can spend hours. In fact, there's one site called Legacy Wealthmakers. Got all kind of videos from financial planning, estate planning, all kinds of good information. You can spend hours. So there's no charge or anything like that at all. But go there and check that out if you like to. So getting back to what we were talking about, humble yourself. Turn from our wicked ways. If we humble, you see the word humble? We talk about humble. That's the first step. And I'm talking to myself. We all have to humble. You know, many people say, I don't go to a church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. You've heard that before? Well, guess what? I said, do you drive on the highway? Well, of course I do. Guess what? There's hypocrites on the highway. And if you really want to be honest, you're hypocritical, and so am I, at different degrees, at different times. So we have to die to self and pick up that cross constantly, daily. So just to recap what I started talking about in the last segment, remember in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Lord simply reminds Solomon of the previous agreement. If Israel obeys, and of course that applies to us too, they will be blessed. Now, blessed doesn't necessarily mean financial, folks. There's a lot of things, oh, why does this evil person look like they're being blessed? They don't. Remember, they're here for a flicker. If they don't know where they're going to spend eternity, and if they have a humble, repent, believe, receive, and become, they aren't going to like the retirement. So the blessing is obviously the fellowship with Jesus Christ, God Almighty. That's the real blessing. But they will be judged. The judgment is meant to bring Israel to what? Repentance. Same with us. And God assures Solomon that if we will humble, hear that word humble, pray and repent again, then God will deliver them from the judgment. In context, 2 Corinthians 7:14 is a promise to ancient Israel and perhaps even modern day Israel. Yes, there's been a lot of controversy. It's not really controversy. The people who are not saying that don't know what the Bible says because they probably only read bits and pieces or if any at all, probably. If they will repent and return to the Lord, he will what? Rescue them. However, many Christians in the United States have taken this verse as a rallying cry for America. Perhaps Christians in other countries have done so as well. In this interpretation, Christians are people who are called by who? God's name. Remember, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He foreknows who's going to come to him. If Christians, believers, will humble themselves, pray and seek God's face, and repent, then God will what? Heal their land. Often a moral and political healing is in view, as well economic healing. The question is whether or not this is the proper interpretation. Or is it? Well, let's take a look. When ancient Israel repented and sought the Lord, they were doing so called in masse. The nation as a whole repented. Obviously, not every single Israelite, just like the United States, not every person is repenting. And pray, but still, it was a national repentance. There was never any indication that a small minority of the nation, kind of like Nineveh, is a righteous remnant, could repent and repay, that the fate of the entire nation would change. God promised deliverance when the entire nation repented. When 2 Chronicles 7:14 is applied to Christians in the United States or in our modern nation, is usually with the understanding that the Christians in that nation, the true believers, the ones of humble repent, believe, receive, and become, and Jesus Christ, who have been born again, John 3:3 says to be born again to see the kingdom of God, by the Spirit of God, will compromise the righteous remnant. God never promised that if a righteous remnant repents and prays for the nation, that the nation will be saved. Perhaps if the national repentance occurred, then God would spare a modern nation, as he spared, I mentioned earlier, Nineveh. Remember that with Jonah? And preaching of Jonah. And you can check out Jonah chapter 3. But that's a different issue altogether. In fact, he was kind of mad, Noah, when they did that. Having said that, it's never wrong to confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, and pray. In fact, it's our duty as believers to continually confess and forsake our sins so it will not hinder us. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And to pray for our nation and those, what, in authority, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It may be that God in His grace will bless our nation, you know, as a result. But folks, there's no guarantee of a national deliverance. Even if God did use our efforts to bring about national repentance and revival, there's no guarantee the nation would politically or economically save. God is in charge. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Who do you say He is? The God? A lunatic or a liar? Remember? The God. The God. As believers, we are guaranteed personal salvation in Christ. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And we're also guaranteed that God will use to accomplish His purposes, whatever they may be. It is our duty, yours and mine, as believers, to live holy lives, sanctification set apart, seek God, pray, and share the gospel, knowingly that all believe will be saved, but the Bible does not guarantee the political, culture, or economic salvation for our nation. So get some of these resources. Help us fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, Randy Elkhorn, Biblical Answers About Heaven, Abandoned Explosion, 2? And the $1 trillion bill or the $1 million bill. We got a lot more resources. Again, our phone number is 724-983-1617. 724-983-1617. My cell is 724-699-3789. Check out our website, onewaytoheaven.com. 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 We post our messages there. And I'll have to figure out why that button's not there if you want to make a donation or you can write a check. But anyways, check it out. Now we're going to finish up this last segment. This comes from Ken Ham, Institution Creation Research. I always like to bring some of these topics in there because a lot of preachers won't talk about stuff like this. A new study was just released this month looking at adolescents in Finland from 1996 to 2019 who contacted specialized gender identity services. The results are not surprised to understand God's very good design of male and female. Children who transition to the opposite gender suffer terrible mental health outcomes, not to mention physical problems associated with these hormones and surgery. The study looked at all under age 23, all gender referred to individuals in Finland between 1996 and 2019. That's approximately 2,083 individuals and had 16,643 matched controls. And what did they find? Here's what they said in their study. Gender-referred adolescents show significantly higher psychiatric morbidity than controls both before and after, 45.7 to 15%. And greater than 2 years after referral, 61.7 to 14.6. That's a huge difference. Those referred after 2010 had great psychiatric needs than earlier cohorts, both before. Among adolescents who underwent medical gender reassignment, psychiatric morbidity increased markedly during the follow-up, rising from 9.8% to 60.7%. And feminizing gender reassignment from 21.6% to 54.5%, and masculinizing gender reassignment. If you want to copy this, I can email it to you or mail it to you. Just give us a call at 724-983-1617. And of course, folks, these are extremely, extremely, extremely high numbers. Psychiatric morbidity, mental health issues increased from 10%, ready for this, to 61%. For boys, and from 22% to 55% for girls who underwent these treatments, many of which, of course, are what? Irreversible, and others often leave long-term side effects. The study conclusion was severe psychiatric morbidity is common among general referred adolescents and appears to be more prevalent in those referred after the recent surge in referrals. Psychiatric needs do not subside after medical gender reassignment. Despite these studies, like these, concerned and vulnerable parents are told over and over, often in front of their kids, by these gender reassignment doctors or therapists, do you want a dead daughter or a living son. That's blasphemy. That's not true. Well, not blasphemy, but it's mendacious fallacy. It's not accurate. Parents are warned if they don't push their child toward life-altering hormones and body-mutilating surgery, their child's mental health will deteriorate and they'll commit suicide. What they are told is the studies find that medically transitioning a child does not work. Does not. The child is actively living in opposition to God. There are children who are confused about their bodies and don't need their bodies mutilated. They will need help to accept the body God gave them and live according to God's design. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He created male and female. Your DNA is DNA. Help the young folks get educated. Pray for them. God, the respecter of no person, He wants all, A-L-L, to come to repentance. Many are called, but few are chosen. So if you know someone or something like that, please, please, please pray for them. Remember, the Holy Spirit does the convicting, the convincing, the converting, the saving. Our job is to share the good news. So we'll talk to you next week. And remember this, it's the day the Lord made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Secrets, oh, this is why.